was the first group or the last church plant. And here we have the first Sunday service. We were renting a place, a convention center to have the Sunday morning services. But just 2 months ago, God gave us a wonderful spot inside of a shopping center. It's strategic to reach out more people. And this is how the building is now decorated. Still lots of things to be done, but a wonderful opportunity to reach out more people. That church now is around 200 and growing. This was the inauguration service. About 300 people showed up for that service. Wonderful opportunity to allow people to know the love of God. Wonderful. And here we have an Indian family. We don't use the term First Nations. It's an Indian family from the jungle of the Amazon in Brazil, close to Colombia. And last December, Claudia and I went there, and now we are sending a group of 13 people from our church. They are trying to collect the money needed to go there to reach out that community. Later on, I can share more story about the Indians in the jungle. It's fascinating. We are reaching out to them. And that's the pictures I have for now. Yeah. So please keep praying for Colombia. And whenever you drink coffee, remember Colombia. Please. Thank you. I love preaching. Pastor Jeff committed a mistake just half an hour ago. He said to me, "Don't worry about time." And I said to him, "Pastor Jeff, you are going to regret it." Because I come from a culture where we are not time-oriented. We are relationship-oriented. And as long as I see your faces smiling, as you're doing now, so nicely, so friendly, I will just keep on doing my thing. So if you want me to stop, just pretend you're sleeping. You know, do this. And I say, "Oh, time off." Oh, now it's supposed to...
Keep smiling the whole time. I just want to adjust this.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of...
Because it's going to be a problem here.
Yeah. I feel like RoboCop.
RoboCop, there you go. All right.
That's much, much better. Thank you.
Oh, keep smiling.
Keep smiling. Till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. Why not we open the Bible in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And I'm going to need your help in the pronunciation of some words. This is not my language. But you are so gracious, always teaching me. Fred and Mary were reviewing my thoughts yesterday for today, and I said to them, "Okay, if I commit any mistake, it's going to be because of you guys." So, blame them. Okay, you need to help me here. Okay, 22 chapter of the book of Matthew. Is that okay? Working? Is that working well? Okay, good. Okay. Let's read from the Bible. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered." Those are difficult words for me. "And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited didn't deserve to come. Go to the street's corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." Let's pray. Father, we need more of Jesus today. We need to find out why we are not having more of Jesus in our lives. Help us. Help us. You chose to teach us the truth of the gospel through short stories that we call parables. Help us to dwell in this parable this morning so we can understand how, why we are not coming to the joy of the kingdom more often. Help us to come. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this story is about a feast, a dinner party, a banquet. In Colombia, we love festivities. As a matter of fact, like in December, we have the first day of December, we have a huge party the whole night. Fireworks, noisy people in the streets. First of the, just to start with, the seventh night we have candles. Everybody brings candles to their sidewalk in their homes. There are huge contests of what's the best or the most beautiful house. Then the 16th, we give presents to each other. We call it aguinaldos. That's not still Christmas. The 16th, we give aguinaldos, presents, Christmas presents to friends. Then the 24th, our Christmas. We don't celebrate the 25th, we celebrate it the 24th. We receive special presents, have a wonderful dinner, midnight. And 25th, we have a nice family reunion, just showing, sometimes feeling proud of the presents we had. Then the 28th. Of December, we have April's Fool. It's on December 28th. Remembering that Herod thing of, you know, kind of hiding his real motivations and killing all these little babies, so we do April's Fools on December. Then the New Year's Eve, great celebrations, wonderful family banquets. And when it's 12 o'clock, people go walking in the streets. And if you are there, they hug you and kiss you, even if they see you first time. So that's the time for young people to go around the city where they know there are pretty girls. And they say, no, I'm just being polite. I just want to give you a hug because it's New Year's Eve. Then the 6th of January, we have the celebration of the wise men. And because they brought presents also, so we give presents to each other again. Do you want to come to Colombia in December? We love partying around. We love festivities. As a matter of fact, my wife and I are going to have a celebration of our 25th anniversary of wedding and also our 25th anniversary of ministry this December. And we are going to have a great banquet and a festivity. We love banquets. Why so that for such a wonderful banquet, people don't want to come? Why is so? For such a wonderful banquet, people don't want to come. And here is the main point of this morning. Parables are written or listened to help us to discover why we are not coming into the kingdom. Parables are like mirrors to help us to discover ourselves. I'm not sure if you remember parable Prophet Nathan told King David. Remember that parable? He was hiding something in his personal life. He didn't want to admit it. Actually, some writers think that David didn't even want to admit it to himself. So Nathan, Prophet Nathan, told him this story. There was a rich man and a poor man. The rich man has all sort of cattle, you say cattle? Lots of livestock, that's the word. But this poor man has just one little beautiful lamb that he loved as one of his children. And the rich man had a visitor. And the rich man decided to steal the poor man's lamb and make a banquet with that. And you remember the story. The Bible says that David, the king, was angry in that. And said, that guy has to be killed because he didn't have compassion and he stole the poor guy's land. Remember what? Prophet Nathan said, that man is you. This is the power of parables. Like, parables are giving you the opportunity to see yourself. In Colombia, dentists used to give people these red tablets. We just found out yesterday that the technical name are plaques or decay disclosing tablets. They are kind of candies. Have you tried? They are sweet. So you start chewing that candy. And then the dentist said, oh, open your mouth. I can see you have decay here and there. I see you're not brushing your teeth properly. Okay? This is the idea of a parable. Nice stories. You start chewing the parable, and then you realize you find what's happening inside of you. Do you want to do that this morning? You do want to find out why you are not getting more into God's kingdom banquet of joy and happiness? Do you want to find out? Okay, three things. I'm that old preacher that always have 3 points. So here are my 3 points. First, I call it the discovery. These people that were listening to Jesus, they needed to discover that they didn't want to come. And the parable uses that technique of exaggeration. You know what an exaggeration is? In Colombia, we exaggerate lots. But you have a lot of exaggerations too. I have heard some of you saying, I love cookies. I love cookies. I love cakes. And I say, you really love cookies? So you kind of fell in love. You're going to marry a cookie or what? How's going to be that kind of honeymoon with a cookie? And then you see, these shoes are killing me. So I say, is that true? These shoes are killing you? So those shoes have to be taken to the jail or what? Exaggerations. So these parables do some exaggerations. The king sent lots of servants just to give you an invitation. The king make many things and prepare everything. He's just making sure you are invited. Exaggeration. In the verse number 4, it says, everything is ready. It's like if you were invited to Prince William and Kate's wedding. Just receive it by mail. You are invited to this wedding. All the expenses are covered. You don't even have to worry about the dress. There's going to be a fashion designer who's going to meet you by the gate and give you the dress you need. Tell me, would you go? Would you go to that banquet? So the exaggeration here is in order to make the point, you don't really want to come. Remember, Jewish leaders were the listeners, the first listeners of this parable. You don't really want to come. But this king doesn't accept a no for an answer. He's that powerful that he doesn't accept a no for an answer. You have to come. So this is my first point. The parable is just to help you. Chew this nice story and you find out that you really don't want. But my second point, parables are not only to prove our stubbornness. Is that a good pronunciation? Stubbornness. Help me with that pronunciation. Stubbornness. You know what's that? When we say, I don't care. I don't wanna do it. That type of approach. But parables are not just for that. Parables go deeper into your heart to find out why. Okay, you don't want to go. That's okay. Would you allow me to show you why? So the parable is going to give you that opportunity to find out why you are not coming more often to Jesus' banquet and joy. This is why. This is the reason. First, let's try to find out some reasons. They Some reasons they could have. Possibilities. They could have thought that the king didn't have the right to interrupt their lives. What are you saying that I have to go right now? It's not my timing. It's a possibility. They could have thought that it was not an invitation from the king, because the king himself didn't give the invitation. It were servants who gave the invitation. So they could have thought that, I'm not quite sure that you're talking in the name of the king, so I'm not going to spend my time. Possibilities. Could be that they could even thought that the king didn't exist, because the listeners of these parables didn't quite like monarchies. For more than 400 years, Jewish people didn't have a monarchy. So they could have thought that the servants were making up the story of an invitation, of a kingdom banquet, and so on. Possibilities. But in my opinion, and you know, preachers have to take risks when preaching. And this is my opinion after reading and studying this parable. The reason was related to the fact that Israel was expecting a messianic banquet. If you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and in many other places of the book of prophet Isaiah, you see that the nation of Israel was waiting a banquet, but not quite like this one. It was a banquet to relieve Israel from all the sufferings and difficulties and rejection Israel was receiving for centuries from nations around the Holy Land. So they were expecting, look at this point, they were expecting to be the guest of honor in that banquet. So this is my point. They didn't want to come because they were not the center of attention. That festivity was not done in their timing, in their fashion, for the people they would like to be sharing the banquet with. The whole thing was around one specific person, the son of the king. You are invited to enjoy the party. Come, enjoy the party. But that party, you have to remember, it's not about you. It's not in your time. It's not with your style. It's not with your fashion. It's not necessarily with your friends. It's about the son of the king. You can see that especially in the verse 11 and 13. Look at that. Verse 11 and 13. The interaction between the king and that guy, that single guy who was at the banquet but didn't have the proper wedding clothes. It's a very interesting case. When he was confronted with the fact, how you get here? Why are you not wearing accordingly with a proper wedding clothes? He was speechless. I love that word, speechless. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation. You forgive me, please. But speechless. Is that okay? Sounds like nice to me. Speechless. Like sounds like. Was speechless because he couldn't present any reason. According to some commentators, at the gate of the banquet, there were anything that could be needed for the party. Dress, food, shoes, whatever was needed, even to take a bath, whatever you needed was there. Because remember, the parable was very specifically saying that everything was ready. So this speechless guy couldn't present any reason. I don't know. I just don't want to. I think the favorite song of this guy, the speechless guy, was a Sinatra's song. I'll do it my way. That was his favorite song. He didn't have any reason. I just wanted to do it my way. I'm not sure if you remember that story of the boy who was playing in the back seat of the car. And his dad was driving. And the boy was jumping and standing in the back seat of the car. And his dad turned back and said, "My son, sit down and put the seatbelt on." And he kept playing and playing. His dad again, "Put seatbelt on and sit down." And the guy playing, and finally his dad was very strong, about to give a discipline to him and say, "You gotta do it." So the little boy sat down and wore the seat belt. And then he said, "But I'm still standing up inside." You see the point? You see the point? We don't want to come because it's not about ourselves. And this scripture is to help you like a mirror, like a disclosing tablet that you chew, to understand what's going on in your heart. Because if you're going to enter God's kingdom and God's festivity and banquet, you have to bring your body and your heart. You're not here to bring just your body or your money or your Sunday morning. You are here to bring your heart. Bring your heart. You gotta want to be here. Your attitude is so important for the kingdom. You got to bring your heart to the banquet. This is my second point. You want to listen to the third one? This is the third one. Parables not only are to be a mirror where we want to see ourselves. Parables also bring a proposal. Proposal. Always. You read any of the parables and ask yourself, what's the proposal here? What's the intention behind Jesus' story? What he wants me to do? And here is the proposal. Here is the proposal. I'm going to mention the proposal in two different ways, just to make sure you kind of grasp the idea. First way. If the banquet has to be done under the conditions of the king, and those conditions are not going to be changed for you because it's about the son of the king and not about you, this is the proposal. Why not give it a try? Why don't you submit yourself to the will of the King, believing that it's going to be much better for you if you submit yourself to the will of the King? Because in this story, there is a collision, a clash of two wills. And only one prevails. It's going to be your way or the King's way. One or the other, nor both. If you submit to that will of the King, it's going to be much better for you. How do you like that proposal? This is another way to present it. Another way to present it. The kingdom of heaven is entering into somebody else's joy. The kingdom of heaven is entering, not in my joy, into somebody else's joy. And you know, we know a little bit of that. The most happy moments, the best happy moments I have had in my life are not based in my joy, are based, let's say, in my children's joy, in my wife's joy. I've seen some of you preparing a dinner for people. You can prepare a dinner for yourself. You can do a banquet for yourself. But when you do a banquet for somebody else, and you see their faces enjoying the wonderful food, I ask you, isn't not better joy when you place your joy in somebody else? That's the beauty of mission work. When you go down to Colombia, we take you to these social projects we have, to the church plants we have. You are spending your vacation, your resting time, and you are sweating, you say, as crazy because it's the tropic. You are running back and forth from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, talking to people, and all these Colombians are touching you, because we touch all the time. I'm not advertising for a youth group to come. But then you are so tired emotionally, spiritually, physically, but you are so happy. Because you're not thinking in yourself. You are entering into somebody else's joy. This is the proposal. Remember, this banquet was for his son. That was the time for the king to present the chosen son. It was the time for the king to present in society the next king. This invitation is for you to enter into the intimacy, of a relationship between the father and the son. This is an invitation for you to have the highest reward any servant could have. Remember another parable. Enter into the joy of your master. That was the highest reward for any servant. So you're invited to meet the new king. To enjoy the relationship of their joy. But remember, it was also a wedding banquet, the most important event in that kingdom. That event secured and sealed the future of that kingdom. The most important event. And here it's very important to ask, when is Jesus teaching this parable? You know, when was Jesus teaching this parable? The Passion Week. Remember that? It was the Passion Week that Jesus taught this parable. When the Father was preparing everything to kill his son and then to raise up him from the dead. For you and I to be able to get into his kingdom. But look at this. What was the role of the bride? What was the role of the bride in this wedding banquet? Look at me. Zero. Nothing. You ladies don't like this. But in those days, as well as in some countries in the Middle East, today, the tradition is that the most important person in a wedding is not the bride. Sorry to tell you. I know, girls, you don't like this thing. Because you're dreaming for that wedding day. You know, you have a wedding dress, all these pictures, beautiful. You know, so beautiful. White, oh, so pretty. You don't care about the guys. You know, the guys just, you know, wear whatever you want. You know, just a tie or whatever. But the brides, you know, they are so pretty. In those days was the opposite. Some long time ago, Claudia and I went to some of those weddings in the Middle East, fashion wedding. The Sikh community, they do that. The most beautiful dress is for the groom, not the bride. Actually, the bride is just behind, like going behind the groom. Like, I'm just kind of, you know, that's the beauty of this parable. We are invited to be part of the role of the bride. Because even though you girls don't like this idea of not being the center of the wedding day, but look at this. She didn't have to worry about paying anything, neither her parents. She didn't have to worry about preparing anything. She didn't have to worry about being beautiful or not that beautiful. She just got to be there, enjoying with her new husband. Everything was about the son, but she was enjoying everything for her. And I think you remember, no? That the Bible tells us that we are the bride. Don't you remember that? So, this is the proposal. If you are willing to submit your will to the will of the King, it's going to be much better. You're going to enjoy. So, the point of this parable is this sentence. You have to be crazy not to come. Conclusion. Conclusion. I teach homiletics at the seminary in Medellin. So I always try to, you know, I want these guys to kind of learn one way to do it. So I kind of in the middle of my sermon, I kind of say, first point, second point, now my conclusion, now my application. I know it's not good, but I'm, you know, I sort of love preaching and teaching. And okay. Conclusion. Why? How about If you say to the king, King, I see your point. You want me to come, but also to be willing to come. But I want to be honest with you, King. I don't want to come. I don't have kind of the feeling. I don't have the desire to come. So what am I supposed to do if I'm not kind of willing to come? I don't want to come to the party, and then you see my face, like, you know, I'm here, like, you know, because my parents brought me, and yeah, I have to be here. And then you point out at me and say, hey, come on here. You don't want to be here. Why are you here then? I don't want to be that kind of guy. So, King, I better not go because I don't have that feeling. I don't have the drive. I don't have the desire to go. Interesting. Interesting. He didn't change the conditions for you to come. The thing, the banquet was going to be done when and how the king wanted to be. Because it was not about you, even though you're invited, it was about him. So what should I do if I don't want to come? That's a question I asked the parable. And this is the answer. What I call increasing revelation. I call it that way. I'm not sure if it's okay with theology or not, but I call it that way. Increasing revelation. When you look at God and say, God, I don't see your point. You see that you're going to give me joy that is much better than the joy I can have in television, in my iPad, movies, and having fun, in friends, in drugs, in alcohol, or whatever. But I cannot see it. And if you go to verse number 4, you see the answer. In the second invitation, he increased the revelation. He started describing the banquet, giving you more information. And there are two main reasons for that. First, when he increases the revelation, gives you the opportunity to be attracted. He is doing the thing more appealing. It's like when I preach the gospel, I always want to be appealing to people. Come, come, it's true. Give it a try. Give it a try. It's true. If you give your life to Jesus, it's going to be much better than you trying to bring everything good to your life and being your own God and your own Savior. Give it a try. It's a wonderful banquet. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. Increasing revelation. But that increasing revelation also have negative aspects. The parable is also showing the damaging consequences of rejecting the invitation. And again, it's using the exaggeration technique. So, whenever we preach the gospel, we want to present it in a very attractive way. But we want also to present it in such a serious way that say it's your life that is at stake. You're going to die without Jesus. You need it. Don't wait. This invitation is so important that it deserves for you to stop anything you're doing. Anything is secondly important. Increasing revelation. So you have to fear this king. Fear him because he's so loving and so patient that he is sending you servant after servant, bugging you with invitations, bugging you with invitations. Then you see an airplane with a sign saying, come, come to the banquet. You look at the floor and in the how do you say, grama, hierba, lawn, grass, there is a sign in the grass, come to the banquet. A friend of you invite you to the banquet. All of these things, he's going to bug you with invitations. Fear this king. He's a bugging king. But fear this king also because his righteousness says he is not going to accept a no for an answer. You have to come. There is no other option. It is your life that is at stake. Jesus, in this parable, is taking the role of those servants, going, inviting, representing the king, inviting people into the kingdom. Do you see the difference between King David and this king? I told you the story of King David. King David didn't want to have sex with some wife. He was taking somebody else's land to have a party. What a different king is this king. He's paying everything. He's preparing everything. He's inviting everyone. A beautiful point. When the Jewish community were looking, trying to kill Jesus, he is preparing a banquet for them. He is even inviting his enemies to come to the banquet. Such a loving God we have. Now, my application. That's the parable. Let's talk about our life. What is Jesus inviting us to do today? We are pretty sure that he's not inviting us for a worldly banquet. We, like in Colombia, we had enough of that. He's inviting us to another kind of banquet. So how can we get into his banquet? The note of invitation says, repent and renounce to your stubbornness. The note of invitation says, receive and rejoice in the fact that the king is doing everything is needed for you to come and be part of his joy. That's the invitation. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Your word is alive when your church read it. And coming from the mouth of Jesus, these stories, like a mirror, help us to understand ourselves, but also give us a proposal, another invitation to come. Some of us need to repent and renounce to our stubbornness. That idea that we, in the deep of our hearts, we want to be God. We want to be the center. Help us to renounce to our selfishness that is so damaging, so destructive. And we also need to receive and to rejoice in this kingdom, wonderful wedding banquet, when you have done everything that is needed and we are entering like the bride. We praise your name. We accept that invitation.